You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
A lot to get to today, so what do you say we go right at it? Great to have you aboard here on the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM, 102.3 FM at Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, it's 106.3 FM, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speakers. Scott Unash with you, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Mr. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. Ben on the other side of the glass, our terrific producer here again today. Lots to get to. We'll take a look back at the state wrestling championships in Des Moines. We'll do that with KJ Pilcher. We'll look ahead to the Big Ten championships. Look back at Iowa, Nebraska. All that with KJ coming up in just a little bit. Iowa into the top 25 in men's basketball as the Hawkeyes with the huge win on the road at Ohio State, perhaps overshadowed by what happened yesterday in Madison, Wisconsin. That and a whole lot more. Iowa, Indiana women's basketball coming up for you tonight as well from Iowa City. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. Again, 319-366-1600. And shout out to Razorback Dale. First one to get in here today. Phone line available as well, 319-366-1600. 1600. Cyclone Courtside Show coming up tonight at 6:30 on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM for you. And then Baylor and Oklahoma State from ESPN tonight at 8 o'clock on all of our frequencies. Again, 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line on this Monday afternoon, the 21st of February, as Mark joins me from his home on the southwest side. How you doing today?
Doing well, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And this is one day I'm thankful to not be in the studio because somebody might touch me.
Oh, I see where you went there. All right. Very good. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. No punishments have been dealt as of yet as far as Juwan Howard, Greg Gard, et al., as far as Michigan, Wisconsin. And as I mentioned, we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. KJ Pilcher is also going to join us coming up as well. And yeah, basketball, let's start there. Let's start, first of all, with one whale of a weekend in the state of Iowa for men's and women's hoops. Doesn't get a whole lot better than it did over the weekend, Mark. Iowa goes into Columbus, clocks Ohio State. You've got Drake going into Chicago, beating Loyola. Iowa State, with a much-needed victory, they clubbed Oklahoma. The Iowa State women with a big win. The Iowa women with a big win. I mean, it was just all over the place. Big wins for state of Iowa teams over the weekend.
Yeah, it really was. And just got a message from Rick Hartzell up there at Upper Iowa, the athletic director, said, "Hey, don't forget about the Peacocks. We're 24-4 and ranked 12th in the country."
Correct.
With a it was, as far as the Iowa game goes, I can't say enough about Iowa's defense on E.J. Liddell. It was just tremendous team defense, and Iowa needed it. And, man, after playing Michigan, 2 days later, having to play in Columbus, I don't think a lot of people really gave Iowa much of a chance, but huge win.
Yeah, huge win. And a quad one win, an Iowa win that the Hawkeyes needed to get on the road. Net going up, of course, a little bit. Iowa into the top 25 this week. Not that that makes a whole lot of difference. It makes no difference as far as the postseason or anything is concerned about that, but it's a nice little feather in the cap of Fran McCaffrey, and not lost on 2752, who claims that Fran knows how to close games, and the Hawks are on a roll right now. And yeah, good place to start right there, 40-77. Big Hawkeye win. Tomorrow night, Carver should be electric. It needs to be electric, loud and proud, as Tom Izzo and Michigan State will come in. That's just half of the equation tomorrow. Of course, it'll be banner raisings tomorrow night. Carver Hawkeye Raptors is going to look different. Megan Gustafson's going to have some company in the rafters at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Luca Garza will be there tomorrow. His number 55 is going to be raised. Several other jerseys are going to be raised. That will be before the tip-off of the game. So make sure you get in your seats at least 20 minutes ahead of time if you are headed to CHA coming up tomorrow. Should be a very, very good night as far as basketball. And not sure Tom Izzo is going to enjoy all the pomp and circumstance, but that's what comes with the territory when you are Michigan State and kind of the blue blood as far as the Big Ten Conference and men's basketball is concerned. But what a outing by Iowa. I mean, across the board, I thought it was, for 40 minutes, the best defensive performance Iowa's had by far this year. They've had a couple of good ones, but I really thought that was an excellent performance, and the defense carried the day as far as this Hawkeye basketball team is concerned, and you can't say that a whole lot.
No question about it. Can Luka put 55 on one more time, though?
Well, he can, but I don't think he's going to go in.
No, I know. I'm kidding, of course. And I would agree with you. I can't recall another game that Iowa played that good a defense against that kind of quality opponent. It was just lights out.
Yeah, held Ohio State to 18% shooting. It's not a great three-point shooting team anyway, Ohio State. They don't take a ton of them. But when you can hold an opposition to 18%, that's getting things done. Plus nine rebounding. Plus nine. Iowa got 17 offensive rebounds in that game. Ohio State had only seven assists in that game as well. And, of course, Keegan Murray had a very good game. Chris Murray also with a terrific game. Aaron Ulis may have had his best game this season as far as a Hawkeye is concerned. And it was just, like I said, everybody, you can pretty much check all the boxes as far as each individual player coming in, doing their job, getting things done, and getting an Iowa a much, much needed Big Ten victory.
I agree with everything you said. Ulis is really coming along quite nicely. Keegan Murray had his, it's not pedestrian, but his 24 points. Bohannon with 10. Chris Murray, as you mentioned, 11 points. Ulis with 7. But E.J. Liddell only had 15. And 6 out of 13. Malachi Branham was good for Ohio State, but by and large, it was that defense against E.J. Liddell that won the game. 20 offensive rebounds. That's 20 and 20 for Iowa. Out-rebounded Ohio State, 40 to 31.
Patrick McCaffrey getting better and better, too, seemingly each game out. Hawkeyes now one game over 500, 8-7 in the Big Ten, and 18-8 overall. Right behind Michigan State in the standings. Hawks could leapfrog or at least tie Michigan State coming up tomorrow night, put themselves in sixth spot. And just, like I said, a tremendous job done by this team, a tremendous job done by Fran McCaffrey and the coaching staff, and a chance to build on that coming up tomorrow night against Michigan State. 319-366-1600. Dave on the text line. Now that was an entertaining Iowa game. I would agree. I would agree on that. Cyclone folks also very entertained as Iowa State polished off Oklahoma, a fast-fading Oklahoma team under Porter Mosier in his first year. Iowa State now 5-9 as far as the Big 12 is concerned, and 18-9 overall. And this week, Iowa State, with games against West Virginia at home midweek. West Virginia in last place as far as the Big 12 is concerned. You got to think that's going to be another W. And then on the road at Manhattan to take on Kansas State. K-State came into Ames and beat Iowa State a couple Saturdays ago. Can Iowa State go back and do the trick on the road against Kansas State down at the Little Apple. Iowa State really improved their lot. I think they moved to the very good side of the bubble. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Getting wins that they needed to win. It wasn't pretty at times, but Iowa State... So seemingly, when Gabe Kalischer plays well, Iowa State is very difficult to beat.
Yeah, the big bugaboo for Iowa State has been offense. It certainly wasn't this game. The Cyclones shot lights out and beat Oklahoma handily. Jerry Palm has Iowa State on the 7-9 today in his bracketology, and Iowa at number 10. So, chance to make some more hay this week for the Cyclones.
Yeah, it is. And the Drake Bulldogs, hats off to Darren DeVries as they took care of business against Loyola. Drake and Loyola tied in the loss column at the top of the MVC with four losses. UNI and Loyola tied at four. Missouri State and Drake right behind with five losses at this specific time. UNI and Loyola have one more game coming up. Just want to double check that, but I do believe that is the case. Indiana State and UNI will take the court, and then closing out the regular season, UNI host Loyola, and that will be coming up on Saturday at the McLeod Center, starting at 6 o'clock. That place will be rocking for that one. That could be for a number one seed, in fact, in the Missouri Valley Arch Madness.
No doubt about it. Great win for UNI. Has Indiana State, I believe, on the road before hosting Loyola. So with a win against Indiana State, that wouldn't guarantee a tie for the league, would it?
No. No. If UNI and Loyola, I mean, it's winner take all on Saturday if they both take care of business midweek. Now, Loyola has two more games yet to go. But the Ramblers and the Panthers shaping up to be a pretty darn big one. We're coming up on conference tournament time. That's crazy. Where did this winter go? We're almost 2 months into 2022, as a matter of fact. This is just crazy stuff. But that's what basketball season does to you.
Yeah. Both in game and out of game, it's a very interesting sport, and looking forward to the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament to follow that. So,
319-366-1600. Well, we've talked Iowa, we've talked Iowa State. Let's talk about what everyone's talking about, and that is Minnesota-Wisconsin yesterday, or Michigan-Wisconsin, I beg your pardon. We expect it maybe a little bit more from Minnesota-Wisconsin being more rivals, but the kerfuffle at the end of the game yesterday between the coaching staffs, Michigan and Wisconsin, and your thoughts welcome, by the way, 319-366-1600. No punishments have been dealt by the Big Ten as of yet. I gotta believe, Mark, sometime before close of business today, you're going to hear something from Kevin Warren in the Big Ten office. You have to, because teams have to make plans, because I think you're going to see coaches being suspended. I think you're going to see players being suspended, and you just got to go down that line, and you got to get ready for the next game with what you're going to have available.
Yeah, I'm surprised nothing has come out yet, either from Michigan or the Big Ten. I probably may come out before local programming is over. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn from 4 to 6. That'd be a nice piece of news for them to chew on. But I hope it's one coach that gets suspended.
Yeah.
In my mind, Greg Gard did hardly anything in this situation. At the end of the game, he grabbed the elbow area of Juwan Howard, not in a threatening manner, in my mind, but just to stop him and perhaps explain. And Gard said this is what he wanted to do. explain why he took a timeout. And Howard was having nothing of it. In fact, he had a handful of guard's shirt and pointed his finger right in his face. And then it kind of got out of hand. Guard kind of disappeared. But Wisconsin assistant coach Joe Krabanoff, and this is something we don't know. What did Krabanoff say to provoke Juwan Howard from open hand slapping of his face?
True.
We don't know that. We don't know that. And Howard, after slapping Krabanoff's face, he had a fist. Howard had a fist. And this is just inexcusable. And then, okay, players see their coach act like this. Swings from both sides. There's going to be players suspended.
Yeah.
It was just an awful, unavoidable situation. If you want to blame guard, blame him for trying to stop and stopping Juwan Howard to try to explain in that situation. But I don't think guard did anything threatening towards Juwan Howard. Quite the opposite. And you know what, Juwan? Don't press with 15 seconds left, down 15 points with two starters on the floor against third stringers. Guard had to call timeout to get organized. He didn't have to, but he did. I mean, during that timeout, and I read a story in the Wisconsin State Journal today, quite a good story. Howard spent that whole timeout glaring at the Wisconsin bench.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, we had a poll question today at KGYMradio.com regarding the subject. What would be an appropriate punishment for Juwan Howard? Four options. 1 to 2 game suspension. Suspended for the remainder of the season, which is what, 5 games, Scott?
Approximately.
Yeah, suspended for the remainder of the season and the Big Ten tournament, or he should be fired. Go ahead and vote. KGYMradio.com, and thanks to Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City.
I think we're safe to say Juwan Howard is not going to be coaching against Iowa coming up in Ann Arbor later this week. Are we in agreement on that one?
If he only gets 2 games, that's going to be atrocious. Fran McCaffrey get 2 games for calling an official
a word.
Two words. A word. It wasn't a nice word. But he got 2 games for that. He didn't slap anybody or throw a chair.
Think you're going to see suspensions on both sides. This thing escalated in the last couple of minutes of that ball game, and you could just see it coming and coming. And it's still not an excuse to what happened. I'm with you. I do think you're going to see. I just cannot see the Big Ten putting 5 games on Juwan Howard and none on Greg Gard. I just don't see that. I think Gard gets a game.
Why? What did guard do, Scott?
I think that it takes two to tango. It takes two to tango. And there was chirping going on throughout the last moments of that game. And I'm more on the side with you that Juwan Howard gets more. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
He has to.
But it's not the first dust up for Juwan Howard either. But if Greg Gard doesn't get anything, it's going to be very, very interesting how the world is going to react to that.
Well, Howard had to be separated from Maryland coach Mark Turgeon last year.
Correct.
I mean, and please don't anybody think of making this racial, because it's not. I mean, think about it, people. It's not racial. And it brings up the whole handshake thing. Fran McCaffrey said today that he's generally opposed to the handshake line. Not because he's unsportsmanlike. He just feels that there's a lot of tension at the end of the game. Same token in East Lansing today. Tom Izzo said, I don't care what happens. We're going to shake the other team's hands If they choose to walk away, we're going to shake air.
Yep.
Izzo has confirmed that he is okay and should be with the handshake line. And, I mean, what have we come to if we can't shake the opponent's hands and say good game? No matter how heated. They just held a state wrestling tournament. And kids have to shake each other's hands afterwards. Maybe getting pinned in the final,
losing,
maybe getting beat on a late reversal,
losing your four time state championship in the last seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody wants to do it. If you have ever been a competitor, I've always believed it builds character and I still do.
319-366-1600. And we're going to hear something coming out of the Big Ten. No doubt about it, coming up quick. By the way, speaking of handshake lines, I'm with you. I think they do have to stay. I think it's a part of things. It's no matter how the sporting event goes, it is still a sporting event. And you need to tell the other person that they did a fine job, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, not those words, obviously. And by the way, our friend Aaron Stecker, the athletic director at Kennedy, with a very good take on that, on his the Kennedy Twitter account, if you want to check that out. A lot of people weighing in. Let's get to this. 8394, Howard, anything less than at least five regular season games suspended is a joke. And nice to see that Brad Davison wasn't not involved. No, he really wasn't. Dean Oliver was there, though. Ish. He was in the area, but crazy. Yes, Juwan Howard did have an incident last year. He's had several. One with Rutgers earlier on, and then Turgeon, like you said. And 31-48 says five games. Five games with that. 52.
I would be good with that.
Yeah, 52-68 says Howard needs anger management training. 27-23 speculating on what was called by the Wisconsin assistant. Why is it seemingly every staff has an assistant coach that has a very short fuse?
Maybe Krabanoff, depending on what he said, is the one that should be suspended and not Greg Garden.
64-29, and I do agree with this. If there is a situation where you can tell something is going to happen, and Fran's very good at this. Fran has pulled his guys away from the handshake line before to avoid something like this. And I would agree. Use your best judgment as far as this thing is concerned. 319-366-1600. What else do we have here? David and Hudson. Howard should be out the entire rest of the season, however long that is for Michigan. Guard should get one, and any player that threw a punch should be out for the rest of the season for both teams. There, Diabate was involved with one of the Wisconsin players. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't think we're going to see a Diabate this time around against Iowa. I think the players involved are probably going to get at least one, if not two games. Agree on that or disagree, Mark?
Yeah, there's a lot of footage to go over, but he was definitely involved in swinging, as were other Michigan and Wisconsin players. Maybe we haven't heard anything yet because they're still trying to sort out the Zapruder version of that incident.
319-366-1600 has all kinds of takes coming in as far as the situation is concerned. It's not a good look for Michigan. It's not a good look for Wisconsin. It is not a good look for Big Ten basketball. It's not a good look for college athletics. It's not a good look for sports in general. And like I said, I would hate to see the handshake line go away, but, you know, there have been more knee-jerk reactions that have been worse than that over the years, not with sports mainly, but with other walks of life. I can see it happening. I don't think it should, but again, I can see it happening.
I'm kind of I wouldn't say indifferent about it, because not every sport has handshake lines. Major League Baseball, you know, you don't have a line up and shake hands. I think it definitely has a place in high school sports. I was talking to you earlier. I mean, your kids battle hard, maybe lose a postseason game, maybe get whipped at the line of scrimmage for four quarters. And the last thing you want to do is shake the other team's hands. But you need to at the high school level. College, pros, I always thought it was cool in the NHL, at the end of the Stanley Cup playoff, they go through a handshake line. That's always cool. Not every sport has or requires a handshake line. I will say it has a place, and a very important place, in high school sports.
Yeah. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here in the Gym Class on KGYM as we take you through the Monday edition of the show. Don't forget, Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming up next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and that includes the 5 o'clock hour, which is Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire Service with their three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And check them out online at lindertire.com. Coming up on 3:30, we're going to talk to KJ Pilcher of the Gazette, and we'll ask his opinion on handshakes and whatnot, because he was at, Des Moines over the weekend, and get his thoughts about that coming up in just a little bit. But want to throw it to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, right across from Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
University of Iowa lost one of its biggest supporters and benefactors as Henry Tippy died at the age of 95. He's donated millions to the university. Born in rural Belle Plaine, he went on to have an extremely successful career in the pest control business. And his company owned over 700 pest control businesses. But I know a lot of folks mourning Henry Tippy's loss today. Good news on the Iowa front. Monica Zanano, Iowa's women's basketball center, announced yesterday she will return next season, meaning that all five starters will be back for the Hawkeyes, who are in action tonight against Indiana for the second time in 3 days. Cedar Rapidian Landon Castle had a successful Daytona weekend. He finished 15th in yesterday's cup race, and on Saturday finished 14th in the Xfinity race after being in the top 10 most of the race, including as high as second. Two more items. Steve Rowe, assistant director of athletic director for communications, also known as sports information director, has been inducted into the COSIDA, College Sports Information Directors Association Hall of Fame. That coming up later this summer. Steve has been with the university for 32 years. And finally, it's not Bowling Night in America, but it was Bowling Day in America. Cedar Rapids Jefferson's Aiden Mitz won the 3A Individual State Championship. Aiden is the son of our friend in the Evergreen League, Marcus Mitz, and his wife, Faith.
That is great. Congratulations to the Mitz family and to Aiden. And Aiden, what are you doing in a few years?
Bowling on his dad's team.
Oh, shoot. Darn it. Okay. Well, maybe we can work. Oh, anyway. Good job by Aiden as Jefferson gets the state champion here today. Yeah, they had the 3A individuals, 1A team going on today, the first day of the three-day run of the state bowling championships. Speaking of state championships, we'll talk about that with KJ Pilcher of the Gazette coming up next as the Monday edition of the Gym Class rolls on right here on KGYM.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code HANSEN, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, and daily boosted odds specials. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts in Las Vegas and nationwide. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter code HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N, and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
As a business person, you know that security is always a concern, but now it can be easily integrated into your computer network. Network Computer Solutions now offers turnkey security systems designed and built for business. From cameras and entry systems to secure video storage, NCS makes it easy for you to keep an eye on your business. NCS knows business networks, and they know how to utilize networks to keep your business safe. Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Did you know MasterForce has thousands of tools at Menards? Any tool you want, we have. There are hammers, drills, pliers, levels, wrenches, grinders, sanders, compressors, nailers, workbenches, mowers, blowers, chainsaws, floor jacks, knee pads, work lights, fans. And that's just a taste. Come check out the wide range of products from MasterForce, exclusively at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
At American Family Insurance, we know it takes many moving parts to make your house a home, and we're here to protect them all. With our innovative and comprehensive coverage options, we can build you a straightforward policy that truly protects what matters most, so you can stay focused and dreaming towards what's next. Ready to get the coverage you deserve?
See Kurt Gustafson at Kurt Gustafson Agency, your American Star Certified Agency. Excellence in customer experience.
Yes, I'm a dreamer.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Back with you in the gym class, KGYM, and very good showing by the Cedar Rapids folks over the weekend down in Daytona. And congratulations to Austin Cindric and the two-car, Team Penske. By the way, Roger Penske is the youngest-looking 85-year-old I have ever seen. He had his birthday yesterday, and of course, Austin Cindric is the son of Tim Cindric, is the president of Penske Racing. Had a chance to converse very briefly with Tim on a couple of occasions at Iowa Speedway. Very nice guy. Former All-American basketball player, by the way, at the, I believe, D2 level. Good basketball. Good athletic family right there. And Austin, very good kid. 319-366-1600 as we come your way here in the gym class program on KGYM. As among the things that took place on a very, very busy sports weekend was the State Wrestling Championships in Des Moines. And to wrap up the high school campaign, KJ Pilcher from the Gazette joining us here on the program. Before that, first of all, favorite selfie from Selfie Saturday.
Oh, man, that is a good question. Boy, I wasn't prepared for having to decide. How about this one? It wasn't Selfie Saturday, but today I actually ran into Benton Community State Champ Jaden Moore, who just won a title on Saturday. I happened to run into him here in Cedar Rapids today and took a selfie because I didn't run into him Saturday. So how about that?
I like that. I like that.
And interestingly, he was in Cedar Rapids because his entire family came down to watch him, which his parents, two younger sisters, and a younger brother. They did not have room in their car to bring his state championship bracket home. So an uncle had to bring it home in their car because his family couldn't fit it in theirs, and he was picking it up today. So that's how I ran into him here, and we took a quick selfie, and I think that might be number one, even though it wasn't technically on Saturday.
Yeah, what, first champ for the Bobcats, 84?
85.
85, okay.
85, yep. Terry Schmucker won in 1985, the second of his two consecutive titles. And, of course, Chad Hennings and Terry Schmucker won it in 84. So, yeah, it's been quite a long drought in got it done.
And as 31-48 lets us know, Vinton Schelsberg had their first ever state champion with Gabe Sanders. So it was a good a good weekend for Benton County.
Yeah, exactly. And, his brother Cooper Sanders made the finals as well. So they had a chance to even double up there. But, yeah, Gabe Sanders, I tell you, got to see him a couple times here in the last couple months at the Benton Community Tournament and then at sectionals. And he was outstanding, and he continued that all the way through the tournament. I tell you what, he was really impressive. And then on Saturday night, he was able to finish things off there. Like you said, the very first champion for the Vikings, he won the 152-pound weight class in 2A, ended the season 25-0, and clearing Goldfield Dow, clearing Goldfield Dow's Garrett Seba 5-3 in the finals. So that was a pretty monumental achievement there. And of course, you know, they had a great team finish as well. And I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that fifth place finish might be a first for Vinton Schelsberg. I think they also had Brady Ortner finished third as well. So you got Cooper Sanders coming back next year, and we'll see if it can add to that title total.
We spent a lot of time before you came on, KJ, talking about the Juwan Howard Greg Gard incident and how important handshake lines are and whatnot. And I made the point, I mean, they just held the state wrestling tournament, and you lose a close one at the end for a state title, maybe the last thing you want to do is shake the guy's hand. And you were a competitor as well. I experienced both sides of it. Where do you stand?
I was a jack wagon, so I don't know if I should really chime in on that part of it when I was a competitor, because I was a dope, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I think if you want a good example, and I was listening earlier, and I think the greatest example was one that Scott brought up, Robert Avila Jr. for Iowa City West. He had a heartbreaking loss for his fourth, going for his fourth title, lost to Ryder Downey of Indianola, you know, in the tiebreakers. And, he showed a lot of class. You know, you could tell he was hurting when he was out there. And that's not easy, because you're in front of 17,000 people and you're wrestlers. So there's only six competitors out there in front of that entire crowd. You don't have, you know, five other teammates or, a 12-person team right there with you. And that's a lot to shoulder. And, you know, he got up, shook hands, went back into the tunnel. You know, and that's – I understand sportsmanship is such a key factor in all this. I just don't know if post competition handshakes are necessary. Do it beforehand. You can express, you know, sportsmanship there before you go, because you're already in game mode. You're still getting amped up, but it's not quite to the point where, you know, you need to cool off a little bit maybe afterwards. I just don't know if the post competition handshakes are needed. Definitely not between players and coaches, as far as I'm concerned. We've seen that cause just as many problems as anything, you know. But I understand there are a lot of people that, you know, do handle themselves appropriately. You know, I think more often than not, maturity comes in and everybody has cooler heads. But, you know, there are instances like this, like the Carlisle incident. I think there was another one in southern or southeastern Iowa basketball earlier this year between a player and coach and a parent. You know, maybe even though nothing really came about of it, you know, the Iowa State duel, you know, I think it would be better off just not going through that post competition handshake. But, you know, then are we saying it's okay to act like a fool as long as you're not having to confront somebody and not teaching somebody to, you know, suck it up and act like an adult, right?
Yeah.
So
exactly.
True.
Right in the fence there, I guess, a little bit. But I guess overall, I would say just do away with them and avoid being in that situation.
Yeah.
Or I think maybe Fran McCaffrey mentioned something about it being optional. You know, I don't know how you would go about doing that when it's optional for one person and the person that doesn't want to talk to you. You know, that could be an even bigger issue. So,
yeah, well, it's out there certainly. And, well, back to wrestling. This was a heck of a tournament. I mean, you had team races come down. Usually team races are taken care of Saturday morning and early Saturday afternoon, but and it was to a certain extent this year, but you had some that went right down to the last match, to the last match of the night, and it was very memorable 3 days.
Yeah, and of course, you know, at the forefront of that is the two-way race where Burlington Notre Dame came away with a half-point win over Osage, tying the smallest margin of victory. Solon beat North New Hampton by a half point in 2017, I think it was. But, yeah, that was one where Osage ended up getting a pin at 220 to pull within a half a point. But if you go back a couple weights, if C.J. Walrath doesn't get a takedown with 20-some seconds left to win 12-4 and get a major decision, that's a half-point win for Osage. So those things, even though at the time you're not sure how it's going to play out, you know, those decisions, those bonus points, they loom large in the grand scheme of things. And that came to play in that, you know, in that two-way race where I think a lot of people thought West Delaware was the team to beat, and they end up getting a distant third, actually, behind Burlington, Notre Dame, and Osage. And then 3A, you had Waukee Northwest with an absolute fantastic final round where they ended up with four champions. They ended up getting pins in their last two weight classes at 182 and heavyweight, and ended up only 3 points back of Southeast Polk and Waukee Northwest's first year as a program with the new school opening up. So, pretty impressive team races there. And of course, 1A, it was Don Bosco, and Lisbon did all they could to try to keep it close. They scored 123 points, which in some years that would be, you know, plenty to win a title. But Don Bosco is Don Bosco, and they won their fourth in a row pretty comfortably.
How would you describe the metro area's showing, KJ? Two finalists, one champion, assorted place winners. How would you describe it?
Average. You know, something that it's probably not used to. You're probably used to a couple more finalists. You know, they're very close to having a second champ. I thought Lindmar's performance was pretty good, even though thought, you know, they could have had enough to crack the top five. They finished seventh overall. You know, but it was tough as far as getting guys down there. But if you look at, you know, Cedar Rapids Xavier had one qualifier, and Christian Stanek got third place, became Xavier's first four-time state medalist. You had Tate Sikora Mathis from Cedar Rapids, Washington, their only qualifier, and he ended up finished eighth, lost to another Metro wrestler in the placing round with Luke Gaffney of Lindmar. Then you had Cedar Rapids Kennedy, I believe Alex Cook and Colin Flanagan both placed for them down there. So when you think about who they took and the number of medals overall, it was decent. Just didn't have anybody really outside of Winmar threatening for top five or doing anything team wise, and then just kind of a limited amount of representation in the finals. Of course, Tate Nachtaborn, Winmar came away with his second title in three straight appearances. He was dominant. I think he outscored his last two opponents like 37-6 or something insane like that. You know, the two toughest rounds of the year, technically, when you look at it, the state semifinals and state finals, and Nachtaborn just absolutely throttled his final two opponents for a second title, became the third multi-time state champion for Winmar, joining three-timer Matt McDonough and, of course, four-timer Jade Porschel. He has a chance to go for his third next year as well. And, you know, Blake Gimo for Prairie made the finals for the second straight year, suffered another tough loss, just 1-0 loss to Koufax Christensen, who became Waukee Northwest's first state champion. You know, that was one that just couldn't get to his offense, and Christensen's tough right out in the second, and then an escape in the first was enough. But yeah, just overall, it was okay. I mean, it was okay. It was nothing real great and astounding. But then again, you know, when you look at how many people got down there, and a lot of the schools that got guys down there got them on the award stand somewhere, even if it was on the lower end. And you know, that's okay too.
Getting the job done right there. KJ Pilcher joining us. A few more minutes here on the Monday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. Iowa City did very well. The three hammers that they had down there. I didn't add up how long Keeter was actually on the mat for four matches, but it wasn't very long. It's Ben Keeter's.
Wanted to.
Yeah, it's Ben Keeter's world, and we're all living in it. But Garvin was terrific, and then you mentioned we talked a little bit earlier about just a gut wrencher that Avila got. But Iowa City had a good tournament too. West had a really good tournament.
Yeah, both of them ended up finishing in the top 10. City High was ninth. Ben Keeter did Ben Keeter things, and it's interesting to listen to him talk. You know, he's a multi-sport athlete, four-sport athlete that excels in everything he does there at City High, and of course, state championship, he was pretty ho-hum and asked him about it. And he's like, well, my sights are set on a junior world team and a junior world title. So that tells you a little bit about the scope that the world that he's living in right now, that he's, he's head and shoulders above everybody that steps on the mat with him. I think he knows it. Everybody watching knows it. The people that step on the mat with him know it too. And he dominated his way through, I think, a couple technical falls and a couple pins, you know, in the semifinal and in final. He was fantastic. He's an undefeated three-time champ, has a chance to join that even more select group next year of undefeated champions, which includes City High's Jeff McGinnis. And that tells you a little bit about kind of the company that he's keeping and can keep. Iowa City West, Hunter Garvin, spectacular career there, getting ready to head to Stanford. Had a really tough match against the Martinson kid from Southeast Polk, had a nice double, put him right on his back, and was a little surprised when he didn't even get the takedown but got the fall. Just one of those little scrambles, but I tell you what, that's where good wrestlers have great mat awareness, and he was on top of it, and just a great finish for a kid that I don't know could be more mild-mannered off the mat and more of a tenacious, skilled competitor on it. The duality that he balances is just absolutely mind-blowing, to tell you the truth. And what a great career he's had as a four-time finalist and three-time champ. And, you mentioned Robert Avila. You know, he's had such a tough season. He's had a knee injury where, he hadn't wrestled. He didn't wrestle between Christmas break and districts because of that knee injury. And He toughed it out, got all the way to the finals. Ryder Downey from Indianola had a great tournament, beat Joel Jezeroga from Southeast Polk in the semis, and then to come back, he was down 5-0, got two turns in the third, and then got the ride out in the tiebreaker to win it. I mean, he just had a great tournament and probably one of the toughest fields in the whole in all three classes.
Real quick, KJ, who's loaded for next year?
You know, I think City High. City High has some talent, really talented kids. Obviously, you've got Keeter coming back. You've got Cale Seaton and Cale Kurtz. You know, if they can get some guys kind of around them, I think that'll be a team that'll be maybe Iowa City West-like next year. Lingmar again. I think the only starter they lose is Luke Gaffney, the heavyweight that's going to be a preferred walk-on it for Iowa football. I mean, you've got the Nakaborn brothers, Braden Park, who plays high, Grant Crest, who plays the 106-pounder Malik DeBow, got seventh. You know, I think they went 8-0 on Saturday in the placing rounds, which is in consolations, which is phenomenal. So Lingmar is going to be loaded. Another team to really look out for next year, I think, is Albernette. That's a team that had five guys down there, four of them placed. They're all coming back, and I think they've got some really young, talented kids coming up that's going to be able to fill out their lineup and add to that core of five people. So those are teams that I think to really look at, keep an eye on. Lingmar, Albernette, Iowa City High.
Well, high school wrestling may be in the back burner, but we got the Big Ten's coming up, D3's here in town, which is going to be fantastic. We talked to Dick Simmons on Friday. Looking forward to that. Will be a lot of fun. And then, they say it's half full. The wrestling glass is still half full, man.
Of course. And that, you know, there's no rest for the wicked, right? You know, Friday and Saturday, you've got the Midwest Regional up in Dubuque to determine part of that field here in Cedar Rapids in a couple weeks. So you've got that. A little downtime for the D1 programs. You know, Upper Iowa and D2, they'll have their national qualifier up in Moorhead, Minnesota. So you still have a lot of quality competition here in the next week and a half before you get to Big 10s and Big 12s and, you know, that national championship here in Cedar Rapids and D3s. I tell you what, if you like pure competition and pure wrestling, the D3 tournament is as good as it gets. And really looking forward, we're going to have a good contingent from Cove probably. You're going to have somebody like Kyle Briggs, a Cedar Rapidian, who will be looking for his first title. It's going to be a lot of fun at the powerhouse.
It will be. And, hey, what were the odds that we would have a coach dust up over the weekend, and it wasn't Mark Manning and the Branzas? So,
that is a really good point. I would have lost the farm if those were my choices, I guess, right now. But
yeah, I would have too. Hey, great job on the weekend, KJ. Thanks, and we'll talk with you down the line here before too long. Getting ready, probably for D3.
Thanks, and I just want to say really quick, thank you guys for all that you do, having multiple hours dedicated to wrestling, and thanks for Mr. Gustafson to support that as well. So thank you very much, and it's a pleasure as always.
All right, thanks, KJ, and a big thanks to Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance, Kurt on Johnson Avenue Northwest. He is a sponsor of our Monday and Wednesday Wrestling Talks. Yeah, I think we made it pretty much unscathed yesterday between Iowa and Nebraska. With the benches. So, hey, you win one, you lose one, I guess. More on Michigan and Wisconsin coming up. More on the Hawkeyes, more on the Cyclones. All that with Todd and Alex. They're coming up next right here on KGYM. 3A and 4A. Boys, tournament trail gets started tonight. Class 4A. North Scott is at Lindmar tonight. We'll be out there on crmlivesports.com. For that first rounder at 6:45, Phil Dunn will join me for that one coming up tonight. And congratulations to CPU as they punch their ticket to the girls' state tournament. That will be coming up next week down at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines. Mark, have a good night. We'll talk tomorrow at 3, and we're going to talk with Rob Gray of of the Gazette, who covers the Iowa State Cyclones. Talk to you then.
Sounds like a plan. Talk then.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis.